servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. And he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But then he continues, says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing, missing nothing. He's talking to people that are hurting. He's talking to people who have had to flee. He's talking to people who have lost everything they own. And he says to them, let patience have her perfect work. Somehow we're afraid of that word, patience. I have heard people, I've heard preachers say, don't pray for patience, because the way to get patience is by tribulation, and they are, for the most part, right. But I've always thought this, well, what if I need patience? What if patience is the top thing on God's list of trying to work in my life and yours? I said it last time, patience is more than just us being calm and collected and being willing to wait for circumstances and not being rushed at the red light and not honking the horn when somebody doesn't move. The word patience here has the idea of enduring trials. I don't know about you, but I want that. I need that. I've said often around here, the thing that gets me more than anything else are the little things. The pump won't reset quick enough when I stop to get gas. Little things that most people would not even be bothered about are the things that seem to be overwhelming to me and grasp my life. But he said, let patience have her perfect work. In other words, there is a work that patience does. There is a work when God has control of our lives. It does something to help us. It does something in us to give us the grace we need to go through what we're going through. We're not going through what they did, but I promise you this. We're going through enough to where we need patience. We need help from God. We need His touch. I want to tell you this evening, if you're needing patience, you just will go ahead and ask the Lord for it. By the way, could I remind you, God's not going to do more than what it takes. We act like God has no control. And if I slip up and accidentally ask for patience, He's just going to bombard me with all kinds of trouble and trials. Hey, God is a God who is in control. And He will not put more on us than we need. He never overreacts. Now, we do, but He doesn't. He will, if He sees fit. And if we need it, He will tenderly hurt us. Can you understand that? He will lovingly send the trials. But if that's what we need, that's what we need. And He says, let patience have her perfect work. Let it run its course. I'm always reminded of the old black preacher that said, Lord, do a thorough job on me, and don't quit working just because I whine. That's my prayer, that's my desire, and that's my need. I want Him to do a thorough job. I don't want Him to start or stop early. I do not want Him to quit before He does the final work on me. I want to be all I'm supposed to be. And that's what James is talking about, that you may be perfect and entire. The word perfect does not mean sinless perfection. We understand that. It means mature. Anybody want to sign up for that? I do. Maybe I ought to ask you like this. Anybody need that? And I'm not asking you to raise your hand, by the way. We need that spiritual maturity where we can face trials and not be overwhelmed, that it won't devastate us, that it won't get the best of us, that it won't take control of us. He said, patience does a work in your life. It'll bring about a perfection. It'll bring about a maturity that you may be perfect and entire. That means complete. As he says in just a second, nothing lacking. Well, I'll tell you something. That means, listen to me, that God has done everything He wanted to do in your heart. I don't know about you, but I long for that. That would bless my heart to know that I have not held back anything. There's not one thing that God would say, but I really did want to do this. But you're not letting me take this part of your life. You've not let me work this in your life. James says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. That God can do all He wants to do. Boy, that ought to be a desire in us. That ought to be a hunger in us. Don't you long for God to do all He wants to do? We ought to say yes quickly, but listen, the way that's accomplished is through trials. And that's when we start to say, whoa, whoa, now wait a minute. Let me think this over. Let me get back with you on this. He says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing or wanting nothing. Oh, how we need that. Listen to what he says. If any of you lack wisdom, well, now, I got a feeling all of us would have to say, yes, I do. Wisdom is a confusing word. It's more than knowledge. It's more than knowing. A lot of the times we know. We are aware. We're informed. We have the information. But wisdom has the idea of being able to use the information we have wisely. By doing the right thing. It's good old common spiritual horse sense. And he said, if any man, if any of you, if any woman, if any boy, any girl, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The source of wisdom is God. The place we get wisdom is from Him. And he said, if you lack it, ask Him for it. We need to realize, first, I need wisdom. It's kind of like the fresh touch. I must first realize the need. I must first admit I have a lack. I lack wisdom. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle life. And in particular, what he's talking about here is, I don't know how to handle my problems when they come. I don't know how to handle them well. I don't know how to do the right thing. I don't know how to be spiritual. I don't know how to please God. And he said, if you lack that kind of wisdom, come ask me. I'm glad we've got a God who wants to give. He is a giving God. He is a loving God. He knows what we need and He knows when we need it. And friend, I want to tell you, He wants to give it to you. Now the devil knows it too, and that's why he fights. The devil's aware of what we're going through. He knows us very well, and that's why he fights so much. But he says, just come ask me. Come ask me. Come where I'm at and ask me. And it says there, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth. Right there is pretty good. He will give what we need. Again, he's talking about, hey, he's talking to people who are facing the worst time of their life. And he's saying, is there something you need? Do you lack wisdom? Is there something you're lacking? I want to tell you where you can get it. Ask me, for I am a God who giveth. I am a giving God, but it doesn't stop there. He giveth liberally. There's one good thing about God. He's liberal when He gives. He's not liberal in His standards. He's not liberal in His purity. But as far as giving, He's liberal. It means He gives abundantly. He gives more than what we need. His grace is more than enough for whatever we're facing. He said, if you lack wisdom, come and ask me. I've got it, and I want to give it to you. And when I give it to you, I'll give you enough. By the way, I'll give you a little bit more than you need. I'm so glad we've got a God who does that. that tells us something. We need to realize we cannot act on our own. We cannot do this on our own. We have to go to Him. The first step is realizing I have the need for wisdom and I cannot provide it myself. And that's why I'm going to Him. Let them ask of God. And again, in the context of what he's saying, it's dealing with trials. Knowing how to handle what they're going through. And he says that he gives to all men. Hey, this isn't something that he says for the elite. This isn't something that he says for the special ones or his pet. This is something for all men. This is something for every believer. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I'm so glad he doesn't say, is it you again? He does not rebuke us. He does not reprimand us. He does not fuss at us. He will not humiliate us. Sometime in your classrooms, maybe you got a teacher that would humiliate you. Say, are you kidding me? You don't know that math equation. You don't know the answer. God will never humiliate us. God will never embarrass us. God will never say, you ought to know this, even though we ought to know it. But when we come to Him, He gives liberally and doesn't fuss about it. I'm so glad we've got a God like that. I'm glad that I can come to Him and ask for His help again, again, and again, and again. And He says, okay. He never says, oh my goodness, have you not learned yet? He ought to. He ought to say, you have not learned this as long as I've been trying to teach you. Why don't you just do without for a little while? No, he never says that. He does not upbraid. He does not hold back. He comes with all that we need, and he gives liberally. We need to learn this evening that he's the only one that can help us. No matter what you need. Well, I want to tell you something. When we're facing something that's bigger than us, we need His grace. We need His wisdom. We need His help. And it says that He'll give generously. He'll give more than enough. There's no need to despair. There's no need to fret. There's no need to worry, because the help you need is only a prayer away. I'm so glad we can trust Him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And it shall be given him. He said before we ask, before you ever come, I want to tell you, you can come expecting. Because I've already told you, if you'll admit your need and you'll realize I'm the only hope you have, and I'm the only place you can get the help you need, the wisdom you need, and when you come to me, I'll give it to you. Now, there's a condition to it in just a second, so we better hold on before we get too all excited. But he said, I'm telling you now, if you'll come to me asking and realize you need my wisdom, I promise you I will give it to you. But verse 6 comes right after verse 5. And he says, but some buts are good and some buts are bad. I guess this could be either. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But let him ask in faith. He says, if you need wisdom, I'll tell you where you get it. You get it from me. And when you come to me and ask me, I want to tell you, you can be assured I'm going to give it. But when you come and ask, ask in faith, nothing wavering. So he said, there is a condition to you getting what you need from me, and that is believing. But let me ask you a question. Why would we doubt? I mean, he's already said, I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. I know you need wisdom, and I have it. And if you'll come to me and ask me, I will give it. So I got a question. Why in the world would we doubt? How long has it been since you remembered that when we ask something of God and doubt at the same time, it breaks his heart? When we ask of him and question him at the same time, it breaks his heart. He's already told us to ask, believing. He's already said, come and you shall receive. Oh, my goodness. We have no reason to doubt. But he said, but let him ask in faith. Believing, expecting, as you're asking, you wait for the answer. You expect the answer. It's like flipping the switch on that back there. You expect the lights to come on because you trust the electricity and you've seen it happen before. That's the same thing. God said, I have done it, I will do it again, and I can, and I will do it for you. Just ask, believing, ask, trusting, but let them ask in faith, nothing wavering. The word wavering means like a wave. And he's going to paint this picture in just a second. It means going one way and the other way. It means push this way and pull that way. Yeah. You ever had that battle in your prayer life? You ever had that battle in your daily walk with the Lord? You have faith and you doubt. You believe and then you wonder. You know it will happen and then you wonder if it will. Just wavering. Yeah, the idea is up and down, but the idea is also left and right. It's being tossed, just like he's going to say in just a second. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He said somebody who wavers, and it's not like one wave that comes crashing in. There's some stability about that. There's some directional power about that. It's going in one direction. It's force is progressive. It's making some headway. Could I say it like this? It's accomplishing something. It's not the wave he's talking about. He's talking about the wave out there where it's just being tossed around everywhere. It's not going anywhere in particular. It goes this way, it goes that way. It goes up, it goes down. That's what he's saying. Wavering like a wave of the sea. Driven with the wind. Wind push it this way, wind push it that way. He said, when you pray, don't pray like that. Don't believe and don't not believe. Don't believe and then doubt. Don't trust me and then doubt me and wonder. He said, when you come to me and you're praying, in this particular case, for wisdom, applies to anything, by the way, he said, don't waver. Can you trust me? Yeah. Do I have it? Yes. Well, why doubt me? Why waver? Why be like that wave? Why be uncertain? If anybody wants me to do right when I'm going through a trial, God does. And if anybody wants to help me when I'm going through a trial, God does. If anybody wants to give me wisdom to know how to deal with that trial and not be swept out by that trial and overwhelmed by that trial and deceived by that trial and burdened and controlled by that trial, God does. If anybody wants all those things, God's the one that does. So when I go to him asking him for help, he's going to give it to me. There's no reason to doubt. He wants it more than I do. That's why I said, don't come wavering. Don't come up and down, in and out. Just trust me. It says you're being like a wind or a wave driven by the wind and tossed. Oh my goodness. It means the wave, the water, is being controlled by circumstances. Wind and other waves. And God said, don't let anything outside of you control you except for me. Don't let any circumstances that you're going through control you. If you want anything to control you, you let me control you. Don't let any circumstance, no matter how bad. You understand these people are going through bad troubles, trials. And he said, don't let what's going on around you control you. And if you want to know how to do that, I can tell you. If you need to know how, if you need wisdom to know how to do that, I can tell you. So come on and ask me. But when you come, ask me. Believe it. Expect me. Trust me. Look in verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Oh, ouch. He's already said you need wisdom. You're going through something you can't handle, and you need wisdom to handle it. And I've got the wisdom to handle it, and if you come to me and ask, I'll give it to you. But if you come doubting, if you come wavering, if you doubt wondering, is he really going to do it? He said you just as well not ask, almost. That may be a little overstatement, but that's about what he's saying. He says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He says, if you don't expect to get it, don't expect to get it. That's exactly what he's saying. If you wonder, you just will quit wondering, you ain't going to get it. And he says, why? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It literally means two souls, two minds, thinking he will, he won't. He can, I don't know if he will. He's able, but I'm not sure he's going to. Two minds, two directions, like the wave on the sea being tossed back and forth. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, if you're unstable in your prayer life, it's an indication you're unstable everywhere. If you prayed with doubt, if you ask him for what he's already promised to you and you wonder if he's going to, it's an indicator you're unstable in all your life. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It tells an awful lot. Hey, your prayer life will tell an awful lot about you. How we pray and what we pray and how we believe and what we get for answers tells us an awful lot about our lives and what we're like as far as the Lord is concerned. Let the brother low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. He says, but let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Now he's writing to people who used to have a normal life. But they got saved, and persecution came, and they had to run. And now they're dispersed all through the territory, hiding out, trying to stay alive, trying to survive another day. Some of those people were rich before the trouble came. And some were poor before the trouble came. But one thing's for sure, now all of them, they don't have homes. Their possessions are pretty much gone. For the most part, if you will, they all have become low. And God said, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. In other words, if God sees fit to bless you and exalt you and raise you up, thank him for it. Realize it came from him. But he also says, but the rich in that he is made low. He said, you who have left riches behind, you know what my message is to you? Thank God. Thank God. He's going to tell us why. Because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withered the grass and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace of the fashion of the perish, so also shall the rich man fade away in all in his ways. He's saying this. If God has in mercy exalted you, don't take it for granted. God in mercy has blessed you. Realize where it came from. Be thankful, be appreciative, and give him the glory. Don't take the credit to yourself because it ain't your work or your effort. It's nothing of you. God did it. If God has seen fit to exalt you, thank him for it. If God has seen fit to humble you, thank him for it. You know what he's saying? He's saying you who have been exalted, don't be prideful. Don't become arrogant. You know where the blessings came from. It came from God, and you know he could take them away just as quick as he gave them. But he says, you who are exalted and you've been brought low, be thankful because you're still saved. You're still a child of the King. He's still your Father. You have a lot to rejoice about. You know what he's saying? No matter where you're at in your life, thank God for it. Be appreciative. I don't know where you're at, but I know that there's a God in heaven who's good. And no matter where he's taking us, hey, all this is God working in his people to make them what they need to be. And he says this, if everything you have has been taken away, thank God, because you're not going to be here long anyway. And if God has seen fit to trust you with blessings, thank him for it, and don't let it go to your head. You know the worst temptation for most folks? Blessings. Blessings. When God increases us, when God blesses us, look through history, look through church history, look through the Old Testament. When God blesses his people, our country is a perfect example of how God has blessed a nation, and this nation now has gobbled up God's blessings, devoured them, and turned to sin. That's the history of mankind. When God blesses people, it's one of the most dangerous things, I don't say this wrongly, that he could do. Because if we cannot handle blessings, we will devour them and turn toward the world every single time. Look at the book of Judges. So he says, if God has exalted you, thank him for it. Keep your mind on him. Don't get your mind on the stuff that he's given you. Because one day, soon, your life's going to be like that flower. Just a few minutes of sun, and it withers. Boy, it's so beautiful and fragrant when the sun first comes up. When the dew's still on it, it's just alive and beautiful, and you can smell it. And so, boy, life can be like that, but life is so brief, and it won't be long. It'll be withering. We'll have somebody helping us up before long. It won't be long somebody have to help us out of our chair, if you can get up at all. James said, the Lord says through James, your life is so short. What difference does it make if you have a lot or a little? What difference it makes is this, what is God doing in your life with the stuff he's given you? We're all going through trials. We're all going through burdens. I want to be able to handle it and not fall apart. I want to be able to handle it and not get upset. I want to be able to, it literally has the idea of, later on, of something private, just uniquely for you. The devil will attack you privately, which means he knows me. He studied me and you. He knows us. And he knows my weakness and he knows your weakness. And that's where he's going to attack. What may be a battle to me may not bother you one bit. What may be a battle to you wouldn't bother me one bit. But we all got them. And I want to be able to be equipped by God to face whatever battle he allows to come my way with victory. And that's what James is saying. Entire, wanting nothing. We've talked about trials and burdens, and but there may be somebody that needs to pray about something. Maybe somebody just needs to talk to the Lord. Maybe somebody needs that fresh touch. Maybe somebody needs to be saved. You mind the Lord, whatever's troubling your heart or burdening your heart or touching your heart.